Good afternoon, Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Cunnan. Coronavirus cases are climbing. According to Reuters, the outbreak has spread to 29 countries and territories. Italy, South Korea, and Iran are reporting more outbreaks today. There are 231 new cases in South Korea and 61 people infected in Iran. However, the infection in China is slowing. According to a World Health Organization team, a turning point is being reached in Wuhan. The coronavirus expansion outside of China is causing some impact on the global markets.
Kleist Commodities hedge consultant Jacob Burke says coronavirus really is the only story in all of the commodities right now.
Everybody's looking at, but now you got more and more fear of what's actually being reported in the the validity of what's coming out of China. And I think that's probably what scares the market the most here. Spread to Italy is hitting the news, and that's got everybody fear, even more fear. And when fear hits the market, it's measured in volatility, and that's what we're seeing, some major volatility across all sectors. Stock market down 800, 900 points right now. You get the crude oil down 240. So this is a macroeconomic scare in the market right now.
And while the fear of coronavirus may be overdone, the reality of the logistics shutdown in China is very real.
You're talking about the largest manufacturing country in the world that didn't have workers for 3 weeks. You got exports going to the ports that maybe doesn't have people there to even work. And we were kind of anticipating when the spread is going to get worse whenever people get back in mingling, get back to school, and get back to work. You know, there's more contact to people, so the quarantines have worked, but now that we're kind of coming out of some of these quarantined areas, the spread's going to increase.
Like most fears that move the market, Merrick Solutions market analyst Scott Shellady thinks the market reaction to coronavirus is overdone.
Well, at some point here, we're going to have to really put coronavirus in perspective and realize that we've lost 150 children to the flu this year between, say, I don't know, is it 12,000 people to flu this year, at least, that's a minimum. I mean, there's been actual deaths in the U.S. from, say, the flu. Yes, coronavirus is a little bit more, or I guess a lot of bit more, contractable from person to person. However, it's just got folks so scared.
Shellady advises caution in the market.
So you're going to have to go through this time frame. It's kind of like catching a falling knife. You got to be careful because, there's not a lot to win if you get in there too early. I would say when we start to see these numbers slow, the market will tell you, and then that'll be fine to get back in. But you don't want to be a pioneer right now, because a pioneer, in my mind, is face down in a puddle of water with a coonskin cap and a bunch of arrows in his back, right? We want to wait until that's over, and then we're going to, then we'll settle our 40 acres.
China is dealing with the double threat of African swine fever and coronavirus. Pork Checkoff Vice President of International Marketing Norman Besek says the economic impact is being seen in different ways.
As customers are importing product, they obviously have to pay for it, and they have a credit facility that enable them, and working capital to enable them to keep doing business. We have seen that slow down as the ports slow down and the whole supply chain slows down. They're not able to turn the inventory as fast, and so that's put some financial pressure.
The activity at the Chinese ports has also slowed down.
One of the things the government did was extend the New Year holiday, and so we haven't seen the ports get back up to full speed and work like they were in clearing the meat. And so getting it through customs and then the deliveries from the port to the end locations have certainly been disrupted. I don't know that we can quantify that, but we've certainly heard anecdotal stories where cities or provinces and different people have built berms to try and contain people movement and things like that, and that has limited the ability to move product within that country.
USDA's weekly export inspections report for the week ending February 20th shows corn inspections of 913,000 tons. That's 15% more than the previous week and 19% more than the same week a year ago. Soybean export inspections are down 40% from last last week at 595,000 tons. It's also 54% less than the same week a year ago. Wheat inspections of 412,000 tons are 18% less than the previous week and 46% less than the same week a year ago. For the marketing year, corn inspections are 47% behind the year-ago pace, soybean inspections running 15% ahead of last year, and wheat inspections are 10% more than a year ago.
In uncertain times, Virginia Tech Professor Emeritus in Ag Economics, Dr. David Cole, reminds farmers to control what you can.
Business IQ, in other words, knowing the fundamentals of business, cost of production, know your marketing and risk management plan, being able to execute that plan, knowing your numbers, I think are going to be very, very critical. Is it going to guarantee success every year? No. But it'll probably guarantee success maybe 75% of the time. And if you're 75% of the time successful, you're in for the long haul.
Ag Country Farm Credit Services Vice President of Insurance and Commodity Marketing Education, Rob Frowning, says it's important for farmers to be proactive. That includes having a crop marketing plan.
You know, farm bill, crop insurance, all these decisions have to be getting made right now, and we need to have an overall risk mitigation plan for that, and they're all pieces to the puzzle. So I guess just looking at it all, coming up with your decisions, and then getting ready to make the next decision.
And you can hear more in the latest edition of Rural Perspectives at RRFN.com. Rural Perspectives is brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services.
Temperatures are expected to drop to the teens for daytime highs by midweek in the Northern Plains before another warm-up comes this weekend. World Weather Incorporated says there will be a drier bias in the weather for the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota for the weeks ahead. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Old crop sunflower prices remain unchanged, while new crop new sun prices are down 10 to 30 cents. High oleic prices range from 25 cents lower to 10 cents higher. The price election for oil-type sunflowers is expected to be around $17.10 a hundred, with confection sunflowers at $22.90 per hundredweight. Those final price elections will be revealed in early March.
The Canadian National Railway is in week three of transportation disruption. Protesters are blocking the railway with primary shutdowns in native lands in British Columbia, Manitoba, and southern Ontario. Conservative leader Andrew Scheer reacted to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's call for peace negotiation and dialogue.
Our government has been working on a path forward because we know what is at stake. We cannot afford to fail.
Mr. Speaker, that was the weakest response to a national crisis. The actions of these radical activists are illegal.
Industry experts estimate the disruption has cost the Canadian economy $5 billion so far. Canadian National is sending out layoff notices to employees, and as many as 1,000 rail workers could be impacted. The line running east to west is a vital carrier for commodities, especially in the winter months. Starbuck Manitoba farmer Charles Fonsi isn't too concerned yet, but spring is coming.
It won't move probably until mid-March. That means I gotta wait until they've loaded cars and they've made space for me to start delivering my grain. It's also gonna impact the purchase of some of our inputs. A lot of fertilizer is shipped into Canada from overseas.
A federal judge in Missouri will allow BASF to argue that it should not be liable for any of the $250 million in punitive damages awarded in three recent dicamba lawsuits. A week ago, a federal jury ruled in favor of a Missouri peach farmer for damages from dicamba drift. Bayer, which owns the Monsanto portfolio, and BASF were named in that lawsuit.
Potato growers are in Washington, D.C. this week to address key issues like trade, research, nutrition, and ag labor. National Potato Council CEO Cam Quarles is still optimistic priorities like ag labor can make progress in an election year.
You know, the 2018 Farm Bill was passed in an election year, and everyone said that can't get done, and then we ended up with a pretty good Farm Bill overall. So I think as long as we stay disciplined, the ag labor crisis, it's hard to look away from it. It's just simply, it's grown too big. There's too much vulnerability across all of American agriculture. And the time is right now to act. So we're going to keep pushing that.
Potato growers will also get an update from Cook Political Report analyst Charlie Cook, and trade will also be addressed during the meeting with an update from Chief Agriculture Negotiator in the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative, Greg Dowd.
Bex Hybrids field agronomist Mike Blaine says on-farm research is vital to success of not just seed, but farming practices too.
The practical farm research has been ongoing since, in its truest or current form, since the mid-60s, formalized probably really in the early 90s. But it provides growers with a look at things that are out there. Probably, you know, as I can take an example, one of the key practices that's on the docket this coming year, or has been the last year and looking ahead to next year, is high-speed planting.
And Blaine says high-speed planting is just one of the many farming practices being studied.
You know, there's equipment manufacturers that make the equipment, but they don't necessarily always have the grower's best interests in mind in the testing. And so Bex has the ability to take a step back, put it through the true test. We currently have 11 locations or PFR testing research locations across the central and northern Corn Belt. And as an example, last year there was 102 different products or practices we looked at.
Ag Country Farm Credit Services is now offering Ag Direct equipment financing at equipment dealers, auctions, and private party purchases. Farmers can buy, lease, or refinance with more attractive rates. Ag Direct Territory Manager Tate Mosier.
We go actually go through all the dealerships as well. So throughout the state of Minnesota, pretty much all the dealerships are set up with Ag Direct, and we will be doing the same in North Dakota in the months coming.
Learn more about Ag Direct equipment financing at agcountry.com. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. To celebrate youth in agriculture and those who teach them, the Red River Farm Network is highlighting the success stories of former FFA members from Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota. Charlie Vogel is a former Idaho FFA member and state officer, now serving as the executive director of the Minnesota Association of Wheat Growers. Vogel says the path to his current career didn't follow the straight and narrow, but those FFA experiences helped.
It's a very squiggly dotted line that's led me where I am today. 22 of us graduated with a degree in ag ed, and there were virtually no jobs in Idaho that year. So I wound up teaching and being an FFA advisor for 7 years in the state of Colorado. But from there, I had the opportunity to go into manufacturing, and teaching was by far the best management training I've ever received, just dealing with lots of diverse personalities. And from that point, I had moved on to work in as agronomy manager.
And Vogel's advice for current FFA members is, you only get out what you put into it.
Step out of your comfort zone. Public speaking is still something that I work very hard to be good at, but FFA gave me the confidence that I can do that. Every one of those experiences that I did, I had the opportunity to participate in, were outside my comfort zone. The growth potential is huge. Be brave, step out of your comfort zone, and give it your best, and you'll be amazed at the opportunities that unfold.
The full interview with Vogel is available at rrfn.com. More highlights from National FFA Week can also be found on the Red River Farm Network Facebook and Twitter pages. Our National FFA Week coverage is made possible by the Minnesota Agricultural Education Leadership Council, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, ProSeed, Bayer Crop Science, and Nutrien Ag Solutions. Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Randy Conan for the Red River Farm Network.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon. March Minneapolis wheat down 11.5 at 514.5. March Chicago wheat down 14.25 at 536.75. March Kansas City wheat down 14.25. March corn down 4 at 373. December corn down 3.75 at 382.25. March beans down 13.25 at 877.25. November beans down 10 at 907.5. In livestock markets, February live cattle down $2.72 at 117. April down $3. March feeder cattle down $4.45 at 135.75. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.